Okay, let's get started. Kuf Mem Beis Mem Beis. We are three lines from the bottom, from the word taima. The word taima. So the Gemara here had been talking about a heter of kikarotinok, a heter of putting objects onto a muksa item. Some Amoraim did use the heter of kikarotinok, and others, what we pass Rav Ashi says, this heter of kikarotinok was only said for a mace. Different svaras given by the Rishonim, why it would dafka be kikarotinok. If you remember to look back on the Rishonim on Daf Mem Gimel, we speak about why only kikarotinok, why can you use other items. The Gemara seems to say that you can only use kikarotinok. So just, you can look back there to review that. So the Gemara says, so in that discussion, the Gemara had said that Rav Yosef, Rava and Abaya had put items onto these buksa items. So Rav Yosef had said, "Wow, look at these great rabbanon. The only heter they had for kikarotinok was shocheach, not balechachila. If you had left the muksa item there, but not if you had put it down specifically." So they both responded that really it wasn't muksa at all. They were just being machber because they were anashim chashuvim. They were important people. And they didn't want other people to be more makel than them. So therefore, they were machber on themselves. And Rava had ended off by saying, four lines from the bottom, "Amar Rava, ana yilavda adam chashvana sakina." Bar Yonah Lamali, Hachazi Leila Umsa. I didn't even need to put this knife onto the Bar Yonah, onto the raw piece of Yonah, because it's really I would have eaten it raw. Hachazi Leila Umsa. So now the Gemara is medayik from that story. Taima the Hachazi Leila Umsa. The only reason that Rava says that it wasn't Moksa because it's Chazi L'umsa. In other words, it's really Ra'ui L'achilas Adam. Halo Chazi L'umsa Lo. Or Medayik that if it wouldn't have been Chazi L'umsa, if it wouldn't have been Ra'ui for a person to eat, so then he would have said Lo, it would have been Moksa. Well, Meimah to Rava, Reb Yehuda Svirulai. Is this to say that Rava holds like Reb Yehuda, who says that you need something Ra'ui L'achilas Adam? And as Rashi here explains, actually, we'll get to the Rashi in a minute. So does it sound like from Rava he needs Roy Lachilas Adam? That's why he requires Chazi L'umsa. But Vahamar Rava L'shamei. But Rava told his servant once, Tavi Le'bar Avza V'shadi Me'ehel L'shunra. Roast for me a goose and throw its innards, throw its be'ayim to a shunra, to a cat on Yantif. So you see that he did not consider the intestines muksa, and throwing it to a cat is good enough to assume that it's not muksa because you're directly throwing it. So does he require edibility for people, human consumption? That's what you see from the story. But the second story about the throwing the me'ayim of the baravza sounds like as long as it's raw enough for animals to eat, that's good enough. So which does he hold? So the Gemara answers. We're going to get to Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. So that's the question of what does Rava hold? So the Gemara answers, Hasam, keeping the Misrach, Taiti Ilavei, Me'esmol. Really, in that story by the Me'ayim, by the goose, we just went up to the top of Kufam Gilmar Aleph. It's not that he holds that it is not Muksa as long as it's Roy Lachilas Adam, but really in that case, it was Muchan Me'esmol in his mind, because he knows that if he doesn't. If he holds on to these intestines, they would get putrid. So that is why it was really Muchan Me'esmol from before Yantif. But it doesn't have to do with whether something inherently is considered Muchan or Muksa. And Hachanami Mistavra, the Rav Rabbi Yehuda Svirulai. And this does make sense, because really Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who generally holds a Muksa, like Yoni was just referring to before. The Darash Rava, because Rava Darshan's Isha Lotikane Slabesa Aitzim Litobahen Ud. A woman shouldn't go into a storage house of wood, Litobahen Ud, to take a piece of wood to use to stoke her fire, the ud shenishbar, and an ud that breaks on Shabbos, asul hasikah on Yantif, asul hasikah b'Yantif. You're not allowed to use that if it's broken on Yantif. Lafish hasikah b'shkelim, may hasikah b'shiver kelim shmamina, because you're allowed to use kelim to heat with on Yantif, but you're not allowed to use broken shards of kelim on Yantif shmamina. So you see that Rava, who says that, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says you can't be masik b'shiver kelim. So therefore, that's why it fits in well to the earlier case that Rava would be the one that really requires something to be roy la'achila Adam, and not just Roy Lachilas Behem. Okay, that just finishes up a diyuk from the story from yesterday. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. Kuf Mem Gimel Mar Aleph, the Mishnah. Beishamayomrim, Ma'avirin Me'al HaShulchan Atzamos V'Klipin. Let's say you were eating and you left bones and shells on the table after you ate. Beis Shammai says you're allowed to remove them from the table. Pick them up and you can take them off. Ubeis Hillel Omri Misalik as a tabla kulu menara. Beis Hillel here, according to our version of the Mishnah, Beis Hillel is machmir, one of the few times that he is machmir. Beis Hillel says, no, you got to shake off the tablecloth. You got to pick up the tablecloth and shake it off. Again, in those days, they didn't have tablecloths. So tavla means the board. So they used to have boards on top of the table. What you do is pick up the board, like we have a leaf that you put into the table. So let's say they had a board on top, so you take it off and you shake it, but you cannot touch the items directly. That's what Shita Beis Hillel is. So there are three parts to the Mishnah. That's part number one. Is it? We'll get to something like that in a minute. We'll get to something like that in a minute. But sounds like from the machlokas right here that it is not based on that. It's not based on any type of mias. It's based on whether it's inherently mukser or not. Because the Shabbai says you could directly take it off. Beis Hillel does not. We know. Hey, we know that Beis Hillel might hold of that. So just 2 points on this first line. The Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eiger, interestingly, on the Mishnah, he says that why does it pick at Samos v'Klipin? Why did it just say, you know, both, just say one of them, why at Samos v'Klipin, bones and Klipin and shells? So he just points out, he refers to a Gemara we had way back in an earlier Perek on Chavtes, and he quotes a Lashon from there. Nirlani has Daiti, why does it say both of these? That Samos Hale Rabusa Lebeis Hillel. Atzamos, bones are a chiddush according to Beis Hillel, meaning bones, even though, let me finish reading it, ta'afta mechusim mikol makom mutzul l'taltalam. It's Beis Hillel according to how the Gemara has it, but the bones are a chiddush according to the one who says you're allowed to move them, because even though they're mechusa, they were covered, and that's more of a reason to say that your mind wasn't on it, that it's no lan, so therefore that's the chiddush, even bones are going to be mutter. And then shells are a chiddush to the other shita. Even though shells you see and they're megula, and you might say they're not muksa, even those, there's a shita out there that says it's usher to move them. So each one of these, at samos uklipin, are a chiddush according to one of the shitos. That is number one. Number two is a question that the Ritva here asks. And that is, what does Beis Hillel say, according to our version of the Mishnah? You're not allowed to move it directly, because you have to pick it up and shake it off. Ask the Ritva, ask Tosfos and Beis Adav Beis, what about the concept of basis l'davar ha'asr? We had yesterday in the Mishnah. It's like basis l'davar ha'asr, you can't do it if you put it down. So you put these things down. You put these shells down. So let me finish the question. So why don't you say it's basis l'davar ha'asr? You shouldn't be able to even shake it off if it's a basis l'davar ha'asr. By the way, case yesterday we had the chavis and the rock on top of it. We said you could shake that off. Why? Because it's shocheach. It's not meiniach. But here you're putting it down, aren't you? You're putting it down on Shabbos? You could create books on Shabbos. We old, you can't say muksa stops on Shabbos. Once something is muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, it's muksa for the rest of Shabbos. But you can't create muksa on Shabbos. There's no law if something happens on Shabbos. So why isn't this basis l'davar ha'asr? Yeah?
Basis l'davar ha'asr and mutter at the time.
Then. So Tosfos and Beitza Beis gives two answers. One of them is that there's a lot of other stuff on the table. A lot of other, there's other food. I'm sure there's drinks and cups and plates. So why, it's probably a basis l'davar ha'asr, ul davar ha'mutter. That's one answer of Tosfos. Hey. A second answer of Tosfos there is that maybe it's like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam we had a couple of times earlier in Tosfos Siman Shabbos, and that is Rabbeinu Tam says it's only a basis if you have kavanah to leave it there for the rest of Shabbos. If you have kavanah to remove it at some point before Shabbos is over, or even if you put it there before Shabbos, if you're trying to remove it before Shabbos is over, it's not a basis. That's Jesus Rabbeinu Tam. So here too, when you don't have plans to leave it on the table the entire Shabbos, so therefore that's the second reason why it wouldn't be a basis of Ha'asr. A third approach, which might be the one that fits very well, which the Ritva here says, and that is, you know, maybe the point is, you aren't meiniach it. What happens after you eat something? You eat a piece of chicken, you put the bones down? No, you kind of dropped it, it's not like you put it back on your plate with kavana to do a maisa hanacha. No, kind of like leaves your hands. It's not, you wouldn't call that a hanacha. After you eat shells of a nut, it kind of like goes to the table, but not like you're meiniach it. So maybe it is considered shocheach. Those are three answers why the Mishnah wouldn't be a basis davar ha'asr. Either it's a basis davar ha'asr or ulu davar ha'mutzer, or it's like Shidush Rabbeinu Tam, that if you put it there and you have in mind to remove it before Shabbos is over, it's also mutzer. And number three, maybe it's even not even a ma'isa hanach at all. Maybe it could be, and again, you might not need shocheach for it to be mutzer. You might just not be allowed to have meniach. Right, yeah, meniach and shocheach. As long as it's not meniach, so then that could be enough. Okay, those are two ha'aris on the first line of the Mishnah. Okay, second part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ma'avirin milufnei hashulchan pirurin pachos mikazayis v'seir shalafunin v'seir adashin." You're allowed to remove from the table crumbs that are less than a kazayis and pods of a afunin, peas or lentils, because they are fit for animal food. Rashi here says stomahu, meaning that this statement is anonymous, meaning it's not a continuation of one of the of Shinas Beis Hillel and the Reisha. It is anonymous. We'll see who the author of this statement is in the Gemara. But you're allowed to remove these because this is animal food and therefore it is not muksa. That's part two of the Mishnah. Part three of the Mishnah, Svog, if you have a sponge, Im yesh lo arbei sachiza mekan chimbo, if it has a handle, you're allowed to wipe with it. V'im lav, ein mekan chimbo, and if it doesn't have a handle, you're not allowed to wipe with it. But, beikach u'beikach, either way, nitzal b'Shabbos, even if it doesn't have a handle, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos if it's dry, if you're not going to be wiping with it, it's not called muktzabach b'sgufo, v'eino mekabel tuma. And it is not though makabel tumah. Rashi here explains that there are only certain types of kalim, certain types of materials that the Torah says are makabel tumah. And this one doesn't fit into any of those categories. It's not a kliyetz, it's not a beged, it's not a sock, it's not mateches, so it's some other type of material, and therefore it wouldn't be makabel tumah. But either way, you would be able to be no-till it on Shabbos. Okay, so what does the Mishnah say? If the sponge has a handle, you can use it. If it doesn't have a handle, you can't use it. Yeah. Being makabel tumah, because the Torah just lists off certain items, certain types of kalim, which can be makabel tumah, and this doesn't fit into any of those categories. So what is important for us? Because it's quoting different halachas about what's the why is it brought here? You're asking. Okay, it didn't have to be brought here. That's true. But once it's quoting other distinctions, or whether there are no distinctions, whether it has a handle or not, it quotes this halacha also. Okay, you're right. It doesn't have to do specific with Hilchos Shabbos. But what's the issue here? So if it has a handle or not, if it has a handle, you can be no-till it. If not, not. So this is something, if you remember, we discussed a couple of years ago. It's a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam versus the Raivin. What does Rashi here say? Eimakan chinbo, shekisha ochzo nischat benitz ba'osav. When you would pick it up, if it doesn't have a handle, then schita would take place. We know schita, which is squeezing liquid out of something, is a malacha, it's a tolda of dash. It's a tolda of the malacha of dash. Dash is threshing, but not only threshing on the one hand, is taking something from the inside out, but also we say squeezing milking cows and squeezing out fruit, which we'll get to a lot of Ezra Naman Beis today. That is all within the malacha of dash of schita. Schita is a tolda of dash. So says Rashi, if you pick up a sponge without a handle and you're going to be wiping with it, so schita is going to take place because the liquid's going, that's what a sponge is. You want the liquid to come out, you want to be able to wipe up whatever you're wiping. That is what Rashi says. But what if it has a handle? How do you have to interpret the Mishnah for Rashi? If it has a handle, what? Schita is not going to take place? There's a difference if you're wiping with a handle or without a handle, so it sounds like from Rashi, that's how you have to learn the Mishnah. That if you're not using a handle, then it's mamish. You have to. The second that you touch it against the surface, it's going to get squeezed out because of the pressure of your hands. But if you has a handle, so then maybe you could do it a little softer. You could wipe it very softly. And that's what you have to say for Rashi, because why should a handle make a difference? Okay, so we're going to get to that formulation in a minute, whether it's the usual way or not. We're going to get to that in a second. If you look at the Rambam says the same thing. In Chaf Beis Tesvav, the Rambam says you can't use one. Where is it? Emakacha b'svod elka yishlo beis achiza shelo yischot, so that shechita shouldn't take place. So that's the Rashi and the Rambam. He asks the Ravid. The Ravid says, interesting Ravid. Amar Avram hatzarfatim mefarshim kain. First he says the Rambam. Rashi agrees with you. Unusual rabbi, you don't find that so much. Rashi agrees with you. Okay, I'll give you that. V'kashali, v'chiyesh lo beis achiza mayhabe. Who cares if it has a handle? E'ef shel k'noach below schita. If it squeezes out, it squeezes out. What difference should it make if it has a handle or not? The issue in the Mishnah can't be the one of schita. So what's the issue? V'ani omer. So let's see what the rabbi says, and then it's a question what exactly he means. The rabbi says, v'ani omer, kiva chiyesh lo beis achiza, since it has a handle. Listen to the language. Since it has a handle, it's just as if you're pouring water out of a pitcher. If it has a handle, it's like you're pouring water out of a pitcher. What does that mean? But if it doesn't have a handle, If it doesn't have a handle, it's just considered like a beged that you're squeezing out. If it has a handle, it's like a kli you're pouring water out of. But if it has a beged, if it doesn't have a handle, it's like a beged. So what does the Ravid mean? So this is a machlokas achronim. The Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Chaf, in Hilchas Chita, says similar to what Alex says. Maybe what the Ravid means is just, this is not the derech of dash. What's dash? You take something with your hand and you squeeze. Right, you take a fruit and you squeeze. You have the udder of your cow and you squeeze. That's the derech of dash. But here, what are you doing? If you have a handle, you have it, and then what you're touching is not squeezing. It's just what's on the end of this is squeezing. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that's what the Ravid means. That it's when it has a handle, it's like you're pouring water. It's like you're not doing any malacha. Not doing any malacha. If it doesn't have a handle and you're actually touching that part, that's the derech of dash. That is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. That it's totally ain't derech of dash to do it this way. But there is a chazonish. The chazonish, and there's a big... See why this is important in a minute. The Chazon Ish, when he quotes this Ravid, he says, no, the Ravid means something totally different. You know what the Ravid means? If it has a handle, so then it's what we call Derech Tashmisho. Right? And he even compares it. Why, we mentioned many times, why if you have a hole in the wall and you put up a board against the window, that could be an issue of Bona. While opening and closing the door is not Bona, it also has a hole in the wall. What's the answer? It's made for that. It's made to be opened and closed and opened and closed. That's how a door is made. It's made to do that. So says the Chazon Ish, if it has a handle, then you know that it's specifically designated to be used as a sponge. It has a shem kli, and a sponge is made for water to go in and out and in and out and in and out. That's why he compares the dafka to the water, the pitcher. Because you fill up the pitcher, you pour out the pitcher, you fill up the pitcher. That's what the Ravid means. Masha Enki says if it doesn't have a handle, that it doesn't, it's not nikar, that it's miyucha to be used for a certain purpose. So therefore, it would be stam like a beged, because you wouldn't have the heter of Derech Tashmisho. Listen to his words. The Kiva despoke asu lach lekabel al yodo mayim lo rikon, lo mevatzli hamayim shebesocha lemikri dash. And also he just adds another formulation. If it's made to do this, so then you already see as if the water is meant to go in and out and in and out. What's dash? If something is inside another item, and it's butel inside, like the strawberry orange juice is in the orange, when you squeeze it out, you're creating a mashke. You're creating something new that wasn't there before. But here, because it's meant to go in and out, and in and out, it never loses its status inside the sponge, as long as it has the handle, if it's considered a kli. Masha Enkein, if it's not called a kli, so it's like a beged, so it's really absorbed inside, if it's absorbed inside, it's not normal to come out, and therefore it would be a problem to do it. He says, but if it has a handle, it's like kamosha sosin to post sadelas. To lachash it bonev asoser, mikomakom, it still needs a beis achiza, because it ain't yichudo yichud velo beis achiza. So it's a machlokas between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chazon Ish. What is pshat of that Ravid? That if it has a handle, it's like you're pouring a pitcher of water out, and if not, it's like a beged. Yeah, that is a machlokas about the last part of the Mishnah. Again, a big nafkamina though, going back to the main machlokas, Rashi Rambam versus Ravid, are you allowed to push down a sponge hard? Let's see some of our sponges. So a real sponge, obviously you can't use on Shabbos because you're holding it. But let's say a sponge that has bristles. Bristles are very tightly close together, so many poskim say there might be a chashash schita there. So a nafkamina between these two opinions are, could you push it down hard? According to the Ravid, you can push it down hard. But it doesn't matter. It's meant to go in and out. It doesn't matter if you push down hard. According to Rashi and the Rambam, the issue is one of schita. So the only reason they allow you to do it with a handle is because it's not a psikresh that you're going to be sochet. But if you push down hard, it's going to be sochet out from between the bristles, so therefore it's going to be a problem. Again, this is all halakha l'maisa also for the issue of toothbrushing. Again, the number of issues that people discuss when they toothbrushing on Shabbos, this is also. If you say that toothbrushing is an issue of schita because the bristles are so close together, it at least appears like a liquid from between the bristles is getting squeezed out. So again, can you brush your teeth hard or not? According to the opinions that say it's a chashash. So that's why this is all related to that. Again, there are other issues in toothbrushing. We mentioned Memareach and Uvdin Dechol, other things. But again, you have sheetas across the spectrum regarding that. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Anu Ein Lon Ela Beishamek Rav Yehuda, Beisalok Rav Shimon. Rav Nachman just points out that his Mesorah is to switch the names in the Mishnah. Beis Hillel is really the Mekel, and Beis Shammai is the Machmir. Beis Shammai is the one that says you have to shake off the tablecloth. Beis Hillel is the one that says you could do it directly. Tosfos here points out, and Tosfos Anu, that if you look at Maseches Idios, which is a Masechta towards the end of Seder and Ezekin, where it lists off all the times in Shas where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmir, this one is not on the list. So therefore, that's part of why Rav Nachman switches, has a different Mesorah. Next, Ma'avir Milafnei Hashulchan Pirurin. You're allowed to, part two of the Mishnah said, you're allowed to take off crumbs that are less than a kizayis, says the Gemara. Misayle Rabbi Yochanan. This is a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Pirin Sheim Kizayis, Asal Adam Biyat. Rabbi Yochanan says if you have crumbs that are less than a kizayis, it's usur to be ma'abid them, to cause them to get destroyed, biyad, directly with your hands. So how does that prove that, like the Mishnah, how does this line of Rabbi Yochanan, that a piruin that are very tiny, you're not allowed to destroy them? What does that have to do with the Mishnah that says piruin that are less than a kizayis, you're allowed to take off because they're machal behema? So it's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos here, what the diak is exactly in the Gemara. Rashi here says, because the Mishnah uses the lashon ma'avirin and not zarek lahu. It says, it doesn't say zarek, you're allowed to throw them away. Right, which is to be mashma that you could treat them in a disgusting manner. No, it says ma'avirin, you could pass them off your table. So that proves Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even if you have these tiny crumbs, you can't just be ma'abi them. It's baltashkes, it's bizayon ha'ochel. So therefore, that's the raya of the Gemara for the fact that it says ma'avirin and not zorkin. Tosfos, for a number of reasons, Tosfos in Dibur Maskil Piruin, says it has to be we have a different gear, a different gerusa in the Gemara. Because we have a couple of questions working out with other Gemaras. His gerusa is that Piruin that don't have a kezayis, mutter la'abdon biyad. That's his gerusa, the opposite of what we have, of asur la'abdon biyad. And Tosfos says the raya is from the fact that the Gemara says that it's called ma'achol be'ema. If it's ma'achol be'ema, so it's ma'achol that you can treat it just like animal food and you can do whatever you want with it. That's why Tosfos thinks, as a different shot of the Gemara, a different version of the Gemara. But that's a discussion between Rashi and Tosfos on this line. Next, Seir Shalafunin, pods of lentils and peas, you're allowed to get off the table. So Mani, who is the author of this second part of the Mishnah? Remember, the first part of the Mishnah was a machlokas between Bishamai and Bishilol. The second part was anonymous. It just said you're allowed to take these off the table because they're animal food. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimini, Tlasli Muksa. Must be Reb Shimini who doesn't know the Muksa because it says you're allowed to do this. Ema Seifa, but the third case of the Mishnah, Svog Mishla Bezachiza Makankhan Bo, Mimlave Makankhan Bo, but the third case of the Mishnah was spoke about the sponge, Asa Lo Behuda, that sounds like a Behuda. Da'amar, Da'arishin Miskabin Asar, which sounds a little bit like Rashi and the Rambam, because what does it sound like from the Mishnah? From the if you're going to use the handle, who says it's for sure going to happen, but because it might happen, the Mishnah says it's still going to be Asar. Isn't that like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara answers no. No, the third case could be Reb Shimon. Because the third case maybe is not a Darvashin Miskabin, which means the Malacha might happen, but maybe it's a Psikresha, which is the Malacha will for sure happen. You are just holding the sponge, but it's Vada going to get squeezed out. And there, even Reb Shimon would agree. Okay, stop here for a minute. If you look back on the Mishnah for a minute, there's a, related to this line of the Gemara, is going to be an important line. So the Mishnah ended up saying that what? The Gemara ended up saying that this the middle line of the Mishnah is Reb Shimon, right? And even the third line of the Mishnah is Reb Shimon. So part two and part three is Reb Shimon. Tosfos asks a simple question on Rashi. If you look on Rashi on the first part of the Mishnah, Rashi says, the one who says mutter in the Reisha is talking about bones and shells. Right, that's not what's for Klippin. What did Rashi there say? Second Rashi, Kashin she'enen ru'uyin lekelev. Rashi says the bones that we're talking about that somebody says is mutter to move, it's not even roi lachilas kelev. Says Tosfos, that can't be. There is nobody, even Reb Shimon says that it has to be roi for animal food. If it's not even roi for animals to eat, you can't move that. So that's what Tosfos says in Atzamos. Lokabir Shakun, I don't know what Rashi's talking about. We know the Mishnah is Reb Shimon. Part 2 and Part 3 is Reb Shimon. That's what we just read in the Gemara. So Part 1, the Deya that says Mutter is Reb Shimon, the Deya that says Asr is Reb Yehuda, so the Deya that holds us is Reb Shimon, but it's not even Roy Lachilas Kalev. So that's why Tosfos says, no, it has to be at least Roy Lachilas Kalev. It has to be at least Roy for animal food. Tosfos asked that on Rashi. The Ritva even says there must be a Tos Sofer in Rashi. He can't even accept this, that Rashi says such a thing. That is the Ritva and Tosfos. What about Rashi? We have to save Rashi a little bit. Come on. Rashi says, Ina Roy Lachilas Kalev. So if you look at the Pnei Yeshua in Beitza, on Daf Beis, the Pnei Yeshua says, I have to help Rashi out here. He says that, first of all, I think, Tosfos thinks he's such a big shot. He thinks that the Mishnah's like him. One second. The Mishnah says that he has two cases. And if you're saying the first case of the Mishnah is Roy Lachilas Kalev, then what's the difference between the second case of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, "Mebreishu machal behema." That's also roi lachilas kalav. So why does the first part of the Mishnah have a machlokas and the second part not? The same case. A. B. The second part of the Mishnah says, "Mipneishu roi lamachal behema." Mashma, the first part is not roi lamachal behema. So even the lashon of the Mishnah, Pnei Yeshua says to Tosfos, I think that Rashi is correct. But as Tosfos says, Pnei Yeshua says, how can I help out Rashi? So he says what Seth just said. The point is, it's not even Roel Achilas Kalab. You know what? The heter here is based on Graf Shel Rei. That the heter is, we know that if there's something disgusting sitting in your living room, there is a heter to move it out, because Muksa is Drabanan, and we say, B'makum Zeh, welcome, there's a Graf Shel Rei staring at you in the face. We say, Chazal, we're not mokim there, halacha, and therefore you're allowed to move it out. And interesting, at the end of that piece in the Pnei Yeshua ends off by saying, this is what I thought to be Yashi Shidat Rashi. By the way, we mentioned, not mentioned before, the Pnei Yeshua's whole Sefer. All three volumes, what he does 98% of the time is to be Miyashiv Shitas Rashi, right? Defend Rashi, which he writes in his Hakdama to the Sefer that once he devoted a whole Sefer to this, he writes that it's an unbelievable Hakdama, two-page Hakdama before Brachas, that one time there was a major fire in his house. And he lost a lot of his family, and he was lying there, Rav Yeshua Falk, he lived 250 years ago, he was lying there under a burning ember, and he thought, this is it. And he made a neder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if he gets out safely and he's saved, he will devote the rest of his life to defending Rashi from Tosfos Kashas. And all of a sudden, right after he made that neder, somebody took the wood off him and he was saved. Unbelievable. So he says, that's why I'm devoting the rest of my life to defending Shitas Rashi, like my grandfather did, the Megine Shlomo, defender of Rashi, that was the Pnei Yeshua's grandfather, or great-grandfather, I'm not sure. So he says, that's why we have the Pnei Yeshua, right, because of that story. So he says, at the end of this paragraph, he says, after I gave the Pshat in Rashi, Matzasi Lamori Zakeni, a governor of Yeshua, Besifro Magine Shlomo, Shekasav Kane, that he gave the same Pshat in Rashi, Benasati Shelech, Vahodoya Lakel, Shenchani B'derecha Emes, Shekivanti L'Divrei Mori Zakeni. I was very happy that I said the same Pshat as my grandfather in defending Shitas Rashi. Okay, yeah. That was the Chumr Shita. We pass in Lakula.
And not mention anything about bristles or.
I don't know if they had those in those days. The sponge, the bristles? Why wiping it with your hand? Okay, maybe you don't want to do it with your hand, but it says that the Tanakh Kama says you're allowed to be Mavirin. You're allowed to take them off directly. Don't take them off with your hands. So even with. I mean, again, the bristles issue is. I don't know if they had things made out of very tightly fitting bristles in those days. You could use a rag or something to wipe, or a dry rag. That's why he talks about a svog in the end of the Mishnah. He talks about that sponge because we're talking about wiping things. Okay, let's finish up the Gemara. Hani garinin, about 10 lines up. Hani garinin de tamri armiyasa shari latil tulinu. These seeds of Arimian dates, right, armiyasa, you're allowed to be metaltel these seeds after you eat the date, after it's separated from the date. Hol v'chazi nagav iman. Because Rashi explains that these dates were generally not good dates, and you gave the whole date to the animal. So therefore, when Shabbos started, it was already assumed that the date and the seeds were going to go to the behema. Therefore, it's not muksa. And even after the seeds get separated from the iman, from its mother, literally, from this the source of the date, so then it's still not going to be a problem of muksa. Uda parsiyasa usr. But the parsiyasa, the fancy dates, the Persian dates, those seeds are going to be usr. Because those dates are fit for consumption by humans. So therefore, once you eat the date, the seeds now are no longer connected to the source, to the mother. And these seeds, and this is like the Mefarshim explained, that this line is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds muchan la adam lo havi muchan leklavim. Once something is muchan for person consumption, you don't automatically say it's muchan for animal consumption, and therefore they turn into muksa. So what do you do with these seeds if you want to eat these Persian dates? So what do you do? So the Amoraim had different possibilities. Shmuel metaltel hu agav rifta. Shmuel used to eat it, and then when he took the seeds out of his mouth, he had a piece of bread. He used to put the seed on the bread, so he's holding the piece of bread. And then he used to take the bread and throw it in the garbage. Right? That's why he wouldn't have to be metaltel the seeds directly. And the Gemara says, Shmuel l'taimei. Shmuel goes according to Lushitaso. Damar Shmuel, who we had before a few times. Osa adam kol tzarcha b'pas. Because Shmuel says, you ought to do anything you want with pas. Meaning, you're not, pas just is, you don't have to be as machmid with pas as being very medactic and meticulous what you use it for, even though this is going to end up being making the pas disgusting. You're going to put these dates out of your mouth on it. You're going to end up throwing it out. Shmuel holds that's mutter. Rabbah, the bread doesn't become a busis. You're not being meniachit. You don't want it there all Shabbos. I mean, again, you're going to have other heterim that we mentioned earlier. Rabba metaltelu agav lachna demaya. Rabba, how did he? He used to put his seeds directly into a bucket of water and then take the bucket of water outside and dispose of them. Refuna Bebi Yeshua avid lehuka graf shel rei. Refuna Bebi Yeshua used to take the seeds out directly in front of him, and he waited till he had a bunch in front of him, so he would already be in the category of graf shel rei, and then he'd have the heter of graf shel rei. So Amalei Rashi la meimer v'chiyosan graf shel rei lachachila. Ameira didn't like that possibility. Rav Ashi didn't like that possibility because we don't make graf shel rei l'chatchila. If you have a graf shel rei, if you have a dirty diaper, you're allowed to take it out. If you have a full garbage, you're allowed to take it out. But it's not like you dafka try to do something to create one in order to let it out. That's why he didn't like that possibility. Rav Sheshes zark lu balishnei. Rav Sheshes used to just spit it with his tongue. Rav Papa zark lu achore hamita. Rav Papa used to throw it behind the bed. Amr olava Rav Zechariah ben Afkulis shoy machzer panav achore hamita v'zarkan. They used to say about Rav Zechariah ben Afkulis that he used to turn his face behind the bed and spit it out and throw it out there. So Menachem pointed out to me yesterday that he said that this is the only other place that Rav Zechariah ben Afkulis has mentioned besides the famous Gemara in Gittin, where he was the one that said in the Tisha B'Av Gemaras that you can't kill the messenger, because then they're going to say that somebody brings a balmum on the Mizbeach is going to get killed. And then the Gemara says, because of the anivus, the humility of Zechariah ben Afkulis, that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So I tried to think about it a little bit. Is there a kesher between the two shitas? So will you have a pshat? You have a shot? Oh, you don't. I thought you had a... Okay, that'll be homework for anybody. Is there any connection between that Zechariah ben Afkulis and this one? Okay, we'll think about it. Okay, I was trying to think about that. I'm like, I can't wait till tomorrow. Maybe. But okay, so... Weiter. Chavish, I didn't see anybody else make the ha'ara, but thank you for the ha'ara. Okay, next parak. Parak 22. Three more prakim. Parak Shayim Ba'esrim. Chavish and Ishbara. If a barrel breaks, Matzilin Heimena Mazon Shalosh Seudos. You're allowed to save from it food for three Seudos. Why not more? So Mepharshim on the Mishnah explain that... either, because it's similar. Remember, we had the cases of only a certain... If there's a fire, you're only allowed to sell a certain amount of sudos, a certain amount of kisvi hakodesh. So here, too, we're worried about your doing a malach. If you're allowed to save everything from the barrel, you might come to fix the barrel because you'll want to get everything, or you might come to bring kalim from Rishus Arab. Excuse me, from Rishus Arabim. So that's why there's a limit on how much you're allowed to save from this broken barrel. But you're also allowed to tell other people, you're also allowed to save for you, meaning you could also save Gimel Seudos, Rashi says. As long as you don't be so aren't sofig, meaning let's say you have some wine that's dripping down, so if I can't catch it, what am I going to do? I'm going to put a sponge into the wine, I'm going to make it get absorbed, and then I'll have the wine all saved in that sponge, and then I'll squeeze it out into a barrel later. But no, the wish is you can't do that, because you might come to squeeze it out before Shabbos is over. Right? This is a very very mistaver gzera, because we don't want you to come to be sochet. Part one of the Mishnah. Part two of the Mishnah. Ein sochten es ha-peiros lozimian mashkin. This daf, this amud, is the amud of schita, squeezing out fruits on Shabbos. So ein sochten es ha-peiros lozimian mashkin. The Tanakhama says you can't squeeze out fruit to get its liquid out. V'im yatsu me'atzman asurin. But if it just oozed out by itself, let's say you have a couple of very overripe fruit sitting in your bowl on Shabbos, and some of the fruit oozes out by itself, that's usur. You're not allowed to squeeze it, and even if it comes out by itself, it's usur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it depends. It depends on why you have the fruit gathered. In Oakland, if you plan to eat these fruits, so then hayotze mehena mutter. So then whatever comes out of them by itself is mutter. Because what's the whole reason you would say it's usur? Why did Tanakhama say it's usur even if it comes out by itself? Because if you're allowed to drink that, then you might come to squeeze them out. But, says Rabbi Yehuda, if it's fruit that you're planning to eat and not to use for its liquids, then you don't have a gzera. You don't have an issue. So some of it gets squeezed out. You weren't planning to squeeze them out at all. Why isn't it no? V'im, one second. V'im l'mashkin. And if you gathered the fruit in order to use their liquid, so then Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Yosef Mehan Usser. So then whatever comes out is going to be Usser. The maskana of the Gemara is that Mashkin Shezavu is Usser because Gzeir Shami Yisrod. I don't remember. I have to look up the other answers about the no light issue. Let me look it up for tomorrow. Okay. So this is Machlokas between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Machlokas is about if it gets squeezed out by itself. Tanakhama says if it gets squeezed out by itself, it's usur. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends why you gather the fruit. If you're planning on eating the fruit, it's mutter. If you're planning on squeezing out the fruit, it is usur. And again, Rashi here points out in the second skinny line, this is Mefarik Tolda Dadisha. Right? So this is Schita Tolda Avdash. Last part. We're going to get to the final halacha. And the Gemara is going to elaborate more. Chalos Tvashir Rizka Me'erev Shabbos. If you have a honeycomb that you started squeezing out the honey from it on Erev Shabbos, the Yatsu Me'atzman, and the rest of it continues to ooze out on Shabbos by itself, Asurin, that is also Asur, because we're worried that if you're allowed to do it, you might come to squeeze it out more. Rebbe Lezer Matir, Rebbe Lezer is Matir, because, no, it's already, you're not gozer anything, because of it's already happening by itself, and there's no reason to be gozer. Fine. Gemara. Tana. So back to the first case of the Mishnah, which talks about if your barrel broke and you want to save some of the wine, so you're not allowed to put a sponge down. Tana lo yispa b'yayivli yitak b'shem enchel yasak d'arshu osu b'chol. You're not allowed to use a sponge in order to gather up the wine, and you're not allowed to mitapeach, means moist and wet. You're not allowed to wet your hand in order to let's say, transfer the oil. Let's say it was a barrel of oil that broke to another kli. Shalai yasak d'arshu osu b'chol. Because that's uvdin t'chol, that's like you would do on a weekday, and therefore it is usur midrabanam. Tana Rabbanan, Nispazri lo peiros b'chatzer. Let's say your peiros were scattered in your yard. Malakid al yad v'ochel. You could gather them little by a little and eat them. Avololo tochasav, avololo tochakupa. But you can't just gather a huge amount into a basket at one time. Shelo yasek dasher osu b'chol. Again, midr Rabbanan, because that is the normal way of doing things during the week. So Yoni asks, what about ma'amer? Why isn't it ma'amer? Forget the Rabbanan. What about the daraisa of ma'amer? So what? Not what gidulo. We're not. It didn't. As we mentioned a little bit in the past, ma'amer in the Gemara has one limit. Ein ma'amer ela b'gidula karka. We had that back on Daf Ayin Gimel on the Beis, I think. But if you look in the Rishonim, there are four or five other limitations, most of which we paskin like. One of them, Tosis and Beis Daf Lamed Aleph, says ein imur ela b'makom gidulo. Emor is only in the place where it grows. So if you have 30 apples that fall across your living room, they didn't grow there, you're allowed to gather them up. And here too, what does the Gemara say? Bechatzer. Bechatzer. So some of the Mefarshim say Bechatzer means in your yard, but he's not out in your field, in your sada where it grew. It's Bechatzer. And if it's Bechatzer, it's not B'machem Gidulo, and therefore there is no Isser of Ma'amer. That's one. There is another one that I might fit here. I didn't see this anywhere. I think the Tosas Rid says this. Ein Emor Achar Emor. Once something is gathered once, so then gathering it again, just like we find other Malachas. Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. Ein Other malachas have this. So Tosas Rid says, "Ein imur achar imur." Once it's gathered once, and you can't violate again. It once was gathered. So again, here it was gathered already. It says there was nispazer. It was scattered. So once it's gathered once, so then it can't be gathered, violated, but gathered again. Another one is imur is only when it is in its natural state. Right, gathering up sidurim and chamashim in shul is not ma'amer, because these aren't raw materials. These are svarim. It's not wakam gidulo, you have everything, but here it's not shayach. Right? If people here gathering, I'm not allowed to clean up my toys on Shabbos, right? On Machmir. Right? But that's not true. It's not nothing to do with Ma'amir. Sorry? Right, wooden blocks, but still, even wooden blocks is not the. It's not Malkam Gidulo. It's not the place. It's not the same way that it was growing. It's manufactured. Okay, ain't soft as a papyrus. Here we go. Not allowed to squeeze out fruit on Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim that what? What was the Machlokes? The Machlokes was about if stuff oozes out by itself, is it Aser? So Chachamim say it's Aser. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends why you gather the fruit. So the Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim by olives and grapes that it's going to be Aser, even if you gathered it to eat. My time away. Because these fruit are special, we'll talk about why they're special in a minute, but because they are omade, they're you want the wine and oil is really what these are made for. Therefore, even though you didn't gather it for that purpose, you'll have that in mind, and you might come to be sochated afterwards. That's what Shmuel says. Rav says, no, Rabbi Yehuda argues even by Zeisim Vanavim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda B'Shar Peiris, Vein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda B'Shar Vanavim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, forget what Rabbi Yehuda holds, but we hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peiros, by other fruit, and we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Zeisim Vanavim. So now let's go through the sugya, the next 10 lines, and then we will see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Amar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mashmuel, that really there are three there are going to be three categories. The Megorah is going to mention two, but really there are going to be three categories of fruit regarding Hilchos Shechita on Shabbos. Modahai, Rabbi Yehuda l'chacham b'zei zmanavim. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to l'chachamim by zei zmanavim, by olive and grapes. Olives and grapes are the most chamor category. That is where Shechita d'oraisa could take place. Those are special fruits. Why are those special fruits? Right, Zeisim Manavim. That's a machlokas between Rashi and the Ran. At least the Prima Gadim has it as a machlokas between Rashi and the Ran. Rashi, if you turn the page for a minute, go to Kuf Mem Hey Amun Aleph on the bottom Rashi on Kuf Mem Hey Amun Aleph. Rashi says the Gemara here says Mida Oraisa squeezing out Zeisim Manavim is the Oraisa. Why? Avol Shar Drichos Lav Urchayu Bahachi V'Lav Malachahi. It's not called the derech to squeeze out other fruits. Squeezing out grapes and olives to get wine, to get oil. That's normal. That's considered urche. Squeezing out any other fruit, according to Rashi, and this is what other mafarshim say also, is not considered urche, and therefore at most squeezing them out would be in the Siddur Rabbanan, as we'll see. The Ran here has a little different approach. The Ran here says no. We know that there are seven liquids that are called liquid in halacha. There are seven mashkim. Yad, shachet, dam. That's the pneumonic. Yad, yayin, dam, shemen, chalav, tal, dvash, and mayim. Those are the seven mashkim that are machshel akabal tumah. If they come in contact with something that's detached from the ground, they can make a tameh. But the only two in that group that come from a fruit is oil, shemen, and wine, and yayin. So that's why it says the Ra, no, it's halachically, these are the only two things considered mashkin. So the only two things considered mashkin, so that's why these two are special. The Egel Tal says maybe Rashi and Ran are saying the same thing. These are derech, and therefore these have the status of mashkin. But it sounds like they're different focuses. Either way, back to the Gemara. So says Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim by Zeisim Anavim. Umod of Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda Bishar Peres. And the Chachamim agrees to Rabbi Yehuda by other fruits. So what's the machlokas? If they agree by olives and grapes, and they agree by shar peiros, what's the machlokas about? Go figure it out. Oh, they argue about strawberries and pomegranates. Tanya, Zeisim Shemash Lachman, and we have a brayza that says this beferish. Zeisim Shemash Lachman, Shemen, Anavim Shemash Lachman, Yayin, Zeisim and Anavim, which started to ooze out on Shabbos, V'hichnisan, Bein Lochem, Bein Lamashkin, it doesn't matter why you gathered them, Hayotim, Hen Aser, and everybody agrees to that, right? That's stage category one. Zeisim Va'anavim, even if it comes out by itself, it's Aser, even according to Yehuda. Tutim, strawberries, Shemash Lachman, Yayin. So that's a machlokas. That's the machlokas by Tutim Verimonim. Period. Okay, so we're going to stop here in the Gemara because the next point asks the Kasha, which goes on to the next Amud. But what's the halachas? This is the beginning of Shinchaf. Shinchaf Aleph is where this is laid out. Three categories of fruit regarding Hilchos Shechita on Shabbos. If you squeeze out directly a grape or an olive on Shabbos to get its juice, that is an Isser d'Oraisa. If it comes out by itself, it is an Isser d'Rabbanan to partake of those items. That's category one. Category two, Tutim v'rimonim. It is Usser to squeeze them out also, mid'Rabbanan. So you can't squeeze out directly anything. What about if it comes out by itself? So then we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that it would be Mutter to eat. Category three, what the Shulchan Aruch calls Shar Peiros. You have Zeisim Anavim, you have Tutim Rimonim, and Shar Peiros. Those are even mutter to be sochet. Those are even mutter to squeeze out, because those are never. How do you come to the three categories? Category one is the Daraisa category. Tutim Rimonim are sometimes squeezed out. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. That's why they're in the category, Drabbanan category. But in the mutter category are things that are never squeezed out. Bizman Hazeh, when you could get almost every kind of drink in a store, you could get tomato juice and you could get all these other kinds of drinks, so almost everything fits into at least category two, midrabanan category, and you can't squeeze anything out. I don't know, maybe squeezing out a cantaloupe. Is there cantaloupe juice? Is there carrot juice? There is carrot juice. The Rama adds, the Rama says, what if people only squeeze it l'refuah? Right? It's only found at a health store. So the Rama says, maybe ain lachash, maybe you don't have to consider that in the Darabana category. But the Mishnah Berurah generally says that we have to try to be machmir lemons. Squeezing out lemons is a major problem. We got to know how to do it onto a salad, which the Gemara's are coming up. But these are the three categories. Big issue is, what about oranges? Especially Tropicana oranges. Those are grown in order to be squeezed. So could those get to the category Daraisa? Could you get something outside of Tutum Zizam Anovim? So this might be a machlokas between Rashi and the Ran. According to the Ran, who says it's an issue of mashke, do you create the halachic liquid? Orange juice is not one of those liquids. No matter how normal or regular, people squeeze it. Mashke, if you say it's like Rashi, urche bahachi? I don't know. It could be that, you know, there are just as many oranges squeezed in the world today as grapes and olives. Could be. So that is why that might be. Either way, halacha l'maaseh doesn't make a difference for us. Whether it's a d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, you basically can't squeeze out any fruit on Shabbos. If you want to, let's say a lemon, we'll learn in the next couple of dafim how to do that onto a salad. But these are the three categories in halacha. Okay, and there's questions of what about squeezing it out with your mouth, sucking on an orange wedge, the Mishnah Berurah here points out is okay, but that's not called squeezing. And there are various halachas that come up. Okay, yeah. Rosh Hashanah, somebody's eating a pomegranate. Oh, so, let's talk about that for a second. So, pomegranate, let's say I'm cutting a pomegranate, and juice gets squeezed out as I cut it. It's a juicy one, it's a good one. So the question is, and I know that's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. Is that a psik resha? Am I allowed to do that? So think about it. I don't have kavanah to squeeze it out, right? So it's not a molacha, it's a psik resha. But squeezing it directly would be a drabanan, and doing it with a knife is an unusual. So it's psik resha with a double drabanan. We mentioned psik resha with the two drabanans is mutter. Psik resha with one drabanan is a problem. That's what Rav Ribiat notes. Let's say you're cutting grapes for a child, which everybody should cut grapes for the child, right? Children's dangerous. So let's say you're cutting grapes the long way for a child. So you know, let's say it's a juicy grape, and you know that the juice is going to get squeezed down. So squeezing grapes itself is a daraisa. So cutting them is only one drabanan. So psik resha with one drabanan were machmir. So that is why the poskim say you should cut grapes very slowly when you do it on Shabbos, is what Ribiat says. Because if you do it quickly, there's a very good chance that the stuff's going to get squeezed out. If you do it slowly, there's a chance it won't, and therefore it's a davar miskaven. And even if stuff gets squeezed out, it will be mutter. And if you're doing it, then I think he suggests that maybe even better way is to put a napkin underneath. So right when it would get squeezed out, it will get absorbed, it really won't be there. Again, that's what he says. Other poskim I think are more makel. Anyway, this is not schita, you're just cutting it. If it comes out, it's not really getting squeezed down. But anyway, that's a good example of psik resha with one drabanan, with double drabanan, cutting these other fruit. Okay, we'll stop here, and Hashem continue tomorrow. Next week, by the way, just plan to be on the web. This year was going to be 10 minutes earlier and 10 minutes shorter. Because of slichus, you gotta try to crunch time. So this year is going to start at 6 on the nose. 6 o'clock is going to start. 6:40, I'm going to finish. We're going to daven shacharis at 6:40 till 7:05. It's about 20-25 minutes of slichus, and then we'll daven shacharis. Okay, and this Sunday will be normal. This Sunday we'll do slichus at night, so we'll probably have 7:15 shir, I guess. 7:15 shir. But next week and the following week we'll probably do at night. But that's the plan. And the only way that I'll be able to do it is if you're here too. So please do me a favor.